1. You can see the page number 625. It's very short, but we're going to be thinking about that short part of the Bible, short song together. Psalm 131, a song of ascents of David. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me, but I've calmed and quietened myself. I'm like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Children, if you want to come to the front, you're welcome to. I don't have so many things to look at this week, but I do have a few. So I'm not going to put my board up, but if children want to come to the front with your Bible, you're welcome to come. It'd be good to have a Bible. We're going to be looking at these words. So rather than looking at pictures right to begin with, that's it. Great. Come forward, girls. Anyone else want to? Safari going to come forward? Yeah, welcome. Come to the front. Rather than looking, we're going to start by listening, because we've got some sounds that are going to come up. Mark, yellow screens are going to come up, but each of them has got a noise. What is this noise? What was that? That was a chicken. Yeah, okay, next one. That's a baby crying, isn't it? Okay, let's hear the next noise. Sorry? I think it's a pig. Close. It is actually a horse. And what's the horse doing? Yeah, it's eating. It's not actually an apple. Any other guesses? It's eating carrots. Yeah. Okay. Number four. Close, it's bird. Not jackals. It's crows. Anyone know what is the word if you've got a whole load of crows? So you have a murder of crows. Yeah, you have a school of fish. Oh, what was that? Was that there? That's over the road there. That's people emptying their bin. Tell them to be quiet. Number five. Yeah, that was a drum roll. Number six. And we've got it up twice, Mark. If you can, you click on it and press go on the on. Yeah. Okay. That's a little child laughing. It's a happy laugh. Number seven. It's a crowd, isn't it? It's meant to be an angry crowd. It's quite an upsetting sound. And then the last one. Yeah. Someone eating some lovely crisps. Someone eating some lovely food. Okay. We're going to find out why in a bit why we've listened to those sounds. Some were happy sounds. Some were less happy. Noisy sounds. Sort of busy, anxious sounds. If you imagined all the thoughts in our head were sounds, if you could put a machine on my head and hear the sounds, would they be noisy and upset sounds, or would they be happy and calm sounds? Psalm 131, it tells us about being content, and the word is in verse 2. But I've calmed and quieted myself. I'm like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. And content means being happy. Calm, okay with your situation. How can we be content? A lot of us think being content is about our situation, about the circumstance we're in. So we think, you know, if only I had a better toy, if only I had a better one of these, then I would be content and calm. Or we think, if only And you know, I had more ice cream or more chocolate. What's the problem with this pack of chocolate biscuits? What's the matter with it? Yeah, it's empty. There's nothing in it. That's useless, isn't it? Maybe I'd be happier if I had another pack of biscuits. Or maybe for some of us older people, we'd be happy if we had a new mobile phone that wasn't quite so tatty as this one and was a bit more up to date. What would make us content? What would make us happy and calm and satisfied? What does God tell us about how to be content? Mark, have the next slide. There we go. In Psalm 131, we've got a picture of being content. Two things that content people do not do, and one thing that content people do do. That's what we're going to look at. So first of all, there's a picture of being content. It's in verse 2. But I've calmed and quieted myself. I'm like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. So he's saying that being content is like being like a weaned child. What does weaned mean? If a child's weaned, here's someone coming in. Maybe they're weaned, I'm not sure. What is it? Yeah, they've gone from having milk to having other foods. When a new baby is born, the only thing they can have is milk, isn't it? Little babies, the only thing they can have is milk. But as they grow up, they get used to more foods, and that's called being weaned. Little babies who are just having milk, it sounds like they're angry when they're crying out, but that's the only way they can tell you they need something. They can't speak, can they? They can't use words. There's no other way to let us know. So it's not because they're grumpy. It's just their way to ask. And they don't know how to do anything else. So it's one of the reasons we have that room out the front there. If you've got a little baby, they get hungry, they'll ask like that. That's why at Christmas when we sing, I don't sing the little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Because he was a human baby. When he was a little baby, how else would he have told his mother that he needed milk? That's the normal thing that human babies do. But a bigger baby, a toddler, they can eat foods. And so they have been weaned. They can sit up and eat. Their food fills them up. They've grown out of being only milk people. And now they can have things that are other than milk. They don't just cry out for milk. Mum isn't just a milk person. They're happy to be with mum because they've had their food. They want to sit on her lap. They want to hear a story from her. They want to walk and hold her hand. The weaned child is happy from their food and happy to be with the parent who cares for them. That's the picture the Bible has for being content. So we've grown out of being like the baby who shouts out. And we've learned to be like the weaned child. How do we get that? Well, we've got one, there's a picture of being content. Then two things content people do not do. How do you get that kind of peace? How do you get that calm? We've got it in verse 1. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. He doesn't have a proud heart and haughty eyes. That's the first thing. He doesn't concern himself with things too wonderful. My heart is about the things that I love, the things I really want. And a proud heart is a heart that thinks all about me. Pride is thinking a lot about myself. Eyes are for looking, how we look at things. And this talks about haughty eyes in verse 2. Haughty eyes means I look down on you. It's me thinking I'm taller than you at the moment, aren't I, in the front, so I am looking down at you. But haughty eyes is when people think I'm so much better than those people. It's like I'm taller than them, or I'm bigger than them, or I'm better than them, and I can look down on them. That's haughty eyes. Pride is when I think I'm very big, and haughty is when I think you're very small. And those two go together, don't they? If I'm proud about myself, I'm haughty towards you. Those things go together. Proud and haughty people, they get angry when someone says they've done something wrong. Who are you to say that to me? Is the sort of thing they might say. They don't ask for help or advice because they think they know everything. And they're very bad at saying thank you. because they deserve it anyway, don't they? They're so special. Those are proud and haughty people. And we see those sorts of people a lot, don't we? We often see them in the mirror. I do. Every day I'm often like that, proud and haughty. The Bible's way to be content means not having a proud heart or haughty eyes. And the other thing he doesn't do, he doesn't concern himself with wonderful things. Look at verse 1 again. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. Concern myself means I'm interested in it, or I'm in charge of it, or I look after it. If you have a pet, anyone got a pet? Anyone got any pets? No? Some people have. What have you got? A cat. Yeah, so if you've got a pet cat, you're concerned with your cat. You're in charge of looking after your cat. You're in charge of making sure the cat is safe and fed. But the things that are wonderful, they're not like our pet cats that we can look after. The things that are wonderful are things that only God can do. He does things that are astonishing, things that no one else can do. What happens if I start to concern myself with wonderful things, with things that only God can do? What happens if I try to control other people's thinking and their choices and make them follow my plan? My life is going to be full of disappointment or anger or worry. How am I going to make them do that? My mind is going to be noisy. What happens if you try to make sure you won't die? Lots of people do that, don't they? They spend their life worrying. I was with some people on Friday, and they were looking at the label on the food. We've got to make sure we eat the right food. We've got to make sure we do lots of exercise. We've got to do all sorts of things to make our lives long. And you get worried and preoccupied with those things. Our heads are noisy with those things. Rather than being concerned with the wonderful things that God's in charge of, we should be concerned with what God has told us to do. So I don't know. Like I said, I don't get these things right. We were here for Adam's and Kemi's wedding a couple of weeks ago, weren't we? And I then made a real mess with the paperwork for that, and I was worrying about that. I was thinking, have I ruined it for Adams and Kemi for their marriage? Am I going to be in trouble because I'm a minister and I'm supposed to do this legal document and I might have broken the law? But the way I got out of all that worry was to think, well, I'll do the right thing. I'll do the right thing. I'll go to the office. I'll say, this is what I did. This is the information I put on. These are the mistakes I've made. How do we put it right? And that was the way to not have a head full of worry. We know we're going to die. We're all going to die. Did you know that? Don't worry about trying to not die. Let's use our lives today to do good things and listen to what God says about getting ready to die. Because we've got to get ready to die instead of trying to stop dying. That's the sensible way to live, isn't it? If my heart is proud and I'm always thinking about Joel, if my eyes are haughty and I'm always looking down on you because I think I'm better than you, if I try to act big and be in control of the things that are too wonderful, then my head's going to be noisy inside. My mind is going to be going round and round worrying. I'm not content. Let's hear. We've got a sound effect of Joel's head when I'm being proud and haughty. There is the... Okay, do you ever feel like that in your head? That's what it's like when our heads are full of that noise because we're being proud and haughty and trying to be in charge of God's things. What's it like if we do the right thing? Let's have the next slide. No, actually, you need to go on to the next slide, but we'll come on to this, Mark. If you could just leave that for now. How do we be content? Remember, it's not about my situation. It's not about just having a better toy or a better phone or a new pack of chocolate biscuits. The Bible doesn't say be content by thinking a lot about your feelings or doing less and lying in bed late or being someone who just doesn't care, or being someone who avoids other people and their problems. It doesn't say that. Or by eating and drinking things that make me feel calm, or watching videos that help me forget. It doesn't say do that. The opposite of all that anxiety and noise, it's not about trying to be kind, it's giving up being proud. Giving up thinking I'm better than you. And that goes away when I remember how much wrong there is in my life. Doesn't it? When I remember how much wrong there is in my life, I'm going to stop being so big about myself and stop looking down on you and stop trying to do what is God's job. So, one picture of what being content is like, it's like a weaned child full of food, sat with their mother, happy to be with mother. Two things the content person doesn't do. They're not proud and haughty. They're not trying to do impossible things. One thing they do do. It's in verse 2 and 3. Let's have a look at verse 2. But I have calmed and quietened myself. I'm like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I'm content. Well, how has he calmed and quietened himself? Verse 3. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. Put your hope in the Lord. That's what we looked at last week. Do you see it's in chapter? It's Psalm 130, verse 7, just a bit higher up the page. Israel, put your hope in the Lord. So when we do those things, this will be what our minds sound like. Can we have this noise? Eating our crisps, enjoying our food. The noise of a happy child. Now, you might wonder, what was that last sound? Sorry? It wasn't cooking, but it was some close, yeah? No, what, that wasn't tennis. It was the noise of a factory working, things happening. Because when someone's content, it doesn't mean they do nothing. It means they're busy, but they're busy in God's work. Okay, shall we hear that again, Mark? We've got the sound of the weaned child eating the food, being happy, but then the sound of busyness. That's a crisp. Terrific. So how do we do that? How do we put our hope in the Lord? Mark, I've got some prayers on the next slides. We pray these things. Sorry, that's our summary. A picture of being content. Two things content people do not do. Proud hearts, haughty eyes, or doing the impossible. And then one thing they do is they put their hope in the Lord. Let's see what that looks like. Loving Father, I have sinned. Please forgive me. I trust that Jesus has made the way for forgiveness. That's a prayer from a heart that is not proud. That is a prayer from someone who's not trying to do the impossible. It's a prayer from someone who's putting their hope in Jesus. Next prayer. Loving Father, I know that you are right and good and kind. Please take charge of my life. So when I make a mess up with the certificate for Adams and Kemi, I don't rush out and try and fix it my way. I say, God, how do I fix this? How do I do the right thing, the honest thing? That's the way to a calm life. Put your hope in Jesus. Loving Father, I don't know what to do. There's a situation, I don't know what to do. Please help me to know what to do. I trust that you can show me. Those are the prayers of someone who's putting their hope in the Lord. Can we pray those prayers? Can we pray those prayers? Yeah, we can, can't we? If we're willing to put our hope in him and trust him. Instead of being proud heart and haughty eyes, we'll be glad to be servants like Jesus was. Instead of trying to do impossible things that only God can do, we will try and find out what he wants us to do. Doesn't mean we stop being busy, but we'll be busy doing what he wants us to do with content hearts and calm hearts. Children, thank you. There wasn't so much to look at today. There were some fun sounds, weren't there? But you've sat really well. I'm going to finish with a short prayer. In fact, I'm going to say those three prayers that I've just read. I think that's probably the best thing for us to do. Why don't we read those, pray those prayers together? Is that okay, Mark, to go back three slides? So forward one there. Let's pray these prayers together. Loving Father, I have sinned. Please forgive me. I trust that Jesus has made the way for forgiveness. Loving Father, I know that you are right, good, and kind. Please take charge of my life. Loving Father, I don't know what to do. Please help me know the best thing to do. Amen.